Before we open God's word, let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank thee for the kind invitation that thou hast given to each of us to gather with that yonder band round about thy throne to worship and praise thee. Before we open thy word, we ask for thy presence to be with us through thy Holy Spirit, and that we could sit at thy feet for learning. And it would be thy word and its power and in simplicity that would mold our hearts to be conformed into the image of thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we would be firmly rooted upon the vine as we believe and trust in thee to receive the strength, to receive all that we are needing, to be fruitful for thy kingdom as thy servants. Thou dost know each and every one of us and the trials and the sorrows and the joys that we have experienced. Thou art able to comfort those that are grieving, and we thank thee for that blessing. Thou art able to teach us in the ways of truth and life, and it is our desire and our prayer that thou would lead us and that thy name would be honored and glorified, and that we would be better prepared to serve in thy kingdom where the needs exist and in this darkened world that needs thy light. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I'd like to read two passages of Scripture, one verse from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, and then read Deuteronomy chapter 8. One verse from Ephesians 5, 20, and then Deuteronomy chapter 8. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'd like to read the entire chapter. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God hath chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The Word of God is full of exhortations and encouragement to thank the Lord, to praise him. And this first verse that we read from Ephesians 5 seems to do a very good job of describing when and for what we should give thanks. It covers everything when it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is appropriate because God has blessed us very much. Even as we sang in the opening hymn, that at all times and in every place, God has bestowed his gifts of grace upon us. But there's something in the heart of man that is forgetful, and we often need reminders. Because we don't recognize or don't appreciate those good things that God has provided. Or even as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there may be times when we are so blessed that we lose sight. And that is the challenge, to have Ephesians 5:20 not just be something that we know with our minds and we have remembered and know is good and right. The important thing is that Ephesians 5:20 would be in our heart. That we would have that heart that is in unity and in agreement with this verse. That in all times, for all things, we would give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the reading that we had from Deuteronomy chapter 8, I would hope with God's help can display two different scenarios of life that the Israelites went through to illustrate the time of trial, time of when they did not have much physically, and also the time of plenty. Both of them had the hurdles and the challenges and the roadblocks to developing that heart of gratitude and blessing and obedience that the Lord desires for his people. So with God's help, as we look through it, may that be our prayer, that the Lord would bring to our attention the truths that he has laid out for his people, that God would apply them to our hearts, that he would change us and help us to grow in the manner of obedience, the manner of blessing, the manner of thankfulness that would be pleasing to him. So Deuteronomy chapter 8 takes place. Moses is speaking to the people just before they enter the promised land, just after that time of wilderness wandering where they were in the desert for 40 years and God was providing for their needs. About to embark on the journey of taking over the land of Canaan, where God is promising them that there's going to be abundance and they're not going to have any lack of anything. And he warns them not to forget God once you have everything that you need. And as he reflects and draws upon these two different times, these very different sort of experiences, Moses, through the inspiration of God, and actually God's words to the people, had many things that they should remember about their time in wilderness wandering, the times of trials. First thing was to remember the commandments of the Lord, to keep them. Then he says in verse 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Take time to remember God's leading. He says, to remember too how the Lord humbled thee. Remember the testing and the trial. Remember the manna. God provided the food. Remember the clothes and the shoes that did not wax old, did not wear out for 40 years. And then also, he says, consider in thine heart. Take time and give it some thought that the Lord has chastened you in the way and in the manner that a father does his son. When the people considered how God had led them, it began in Egypt, where they were slaves and in bondage. And God, with a mighty hand, provided deliverance for them, that they might be set free from their taskmasters and those that had enslaved them, and that they could go and worship the Lord as he had prescribed. A great deliverance must be remembered in order for our hearts to be thankful, to bless the Lord, to have that peace offering. We must have been delivered. And then he also says how he humbled thee. Sometimes when we're trying to encourage someone who's going through a hard time, we remind them, but remember all the blessings and all the good things that you've received. That is coming, and the Lord does bring that to mind. But first he mentions the experience of the trial and how he humbled thee. See, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were under a taskmaster, they were slaves, they were in bondage. The Lord delivered them. Now they have their independence. Now they can do what they want. Is that where you will find, and is that where the Israelites found, and is that where we will find contentment and satisfaction? In simply being delivered from those who would oppress us, and being able to be independent, our own person, our own man, where we can do what we want. Well, the Israelites found out quickly that they were in a desert. And within themselves, they couldn't provide to be able to survive. And in that experience, it says God humbled them, which means he exposed their weakness. God knew about the weakness, but we often forget. And God reminded them how weak and limited they were in this cruel world. And that having our own independence and being able to do what we feel like doing is not the ultimate in satisfaction and fulfillment. No, they were filled and they were provided for only when God was with them. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, an important verse to remember. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, there's a lot of people that want to be independent, that want to do their own thing. Not only do they want to be independent from their parents, they want to be independent from God. And they think that would be the best. But the reality of the Word of God that teaches us is that the Israelites would have died out in the wilderness all alone. Remember how the Lord humbles us and teaches us that we need him. Because the contentment and the heart of thanksgiving only can be satisfied and come with a satisfying relationship with Jesus Christ. The reason we can be content is because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said that you might have to leave father and mother, and houses and lands for my sake. Jesus says that we may need to lay down our lives and lose everything. But that contentment and the thing that we will keep is Jesus' presence, his nearness. That is the source of our contentment and satisfaction, our help. And so we are encouraged to remember when our weaknesses are exposed, they teach us and they show us how much we need the Lord. They show what is in our heart. God knows. God knows clearly what's in each of our hearts. But for us to know and to see the light, God brings times of trial so that we would not put our trust in men or in ourselves, but trust in the living God. He is the one that had given us deliverance, which is a great and precious gift. We can read and learn of many acts of deliverance and help. Just a few years ago, we went to a museum and were able to learn about rescue dogs that helped people. And they had many different examples of the dogs that were sent in. A little girl had fallen into the water off the boat, and the master of the dog sent the dog in. He was trained to carefully bring that girl back in, and they were able to help her back into the boat. And she was very shaken up, you could tell. But she embraced and hugged and kissed that dog because she knew she had been delivered. What a far more great deliverance have we been given. We are instructed in the New Testament to be thankful to God for his unspeakable gift, that Jesus Christ has given himself upon the cross to deliver us from our sins. Should we not also return to him that level of affection, that love that Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments? This is the desire of the Lord for us, to remember that great deliverance, to remember those trials and what it taught us about how much we need the Lord. He also mentioned here that we should, that the children of Israel should consider, to give thought to the fact that the way that the Lord had chastened them is as a man chasteneth his son. We read about that in the New Testament as well, that the chastening of the Lord is for our good. And that he wants to have a relationship with us and bring us closer to him and help us to reach the level of fruitfulness and potential in his kingdom. And he, as a good vine dresser and husbandman, knows how to do that. And it is for our good. He says, these things were done so that they, that to know what was in thine heart. These are the things that they were to remember with their mind and consider. But it was the heart that the Lord wanted to reveal. Where was their trust? Where was their reliance? And through the hard times that we go through, may we take these commands of remembrance and realize that the Lord is working all things for good to them that love him. And put ourselves in the place of the Israelites to consider, do I remember these things? Do I consider them? Do I allow them and the meaning of the reality that God is my Father? He cares for my needs. And he knows them, and he provides, that would, in turn, build up my faith and trust in him and put away fear. It's a reality of life that when we go through trials that we can't control, that are just so far beyond what we can fathom, that we become very thankful for each and every little blessing. And to express thankfulness in times of trial, in times of lacking physically, is a good testimony to the world of our faith and our dependence upon the Lord. It's an evidence that we actually do believe that the Lord is our Father and takes care of us, because we respond to these things with thankfulness, with gratefulness, with blessing the Lord. And it is a good testimony. It is a means by which we can let that light of the Lord shine that men might see and glorify your Father which is in heaven, and that they too would also have a desire. I would like to have what these believers have, who believe in their Father and that he will provide for them, and that the Lord might draw all men unto him. In the remainder of the chapter, the Lord describes what it would be like to experience this land of plenty. And he describes them enjoying the blessings, partaking in the things that were prepared for them. But these physical blessings, they were not to set their heart upon them. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so for the time of trial, the condition of the heart is of prime importance. And also for the time of blessing, the condition of our hearts is of prime importance. He lists the many things that they would be able to enjoy. And it would seem that as blessing adds onto blessing, that as the potential for gains and the ability to be busy and to accumulate, somehow he's describing a very natural man pattern that these things crowd out and cause us to forget the Lord. When our hearts are lifted up by them. The heart is lifted up and feels, it was me. It was my strength. It was my intellect and wit and skill that brought about these blessings. But he's describing a heart that has been corrupted by pride, a heart that forgot deliverance, forgot the reality that the trials exposed their weakness, and substituted the greatest contentment that we can have in our faith in the Lord with temporary pleasures that we would have to leave behind. And he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. There would be a destination should they choose that path. And it would be the exact destination of the nations that they were about to push out of the land of Canaan, as it describes in the last two verses. The heart that is lifted up, and a heart that says, I did it, thinks it's great. Thinks it's done something and accomplished something. However, there are psalms that speak of thankfulness to the Lord. One of them is Psalm 92. It's the basis for our hymn 254. And it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, always and for all things to give thanks. Whenever I read this psalm, I'm reminded of a dear sister. Some of you might remember her, Margaret Lam. She lived up in Cleveland, and she was in a nursing home in Berea for the last few years of her life. But when my parents would bring me to visit her, I was always impressed and stunned by how with it she was, though she was very advanced in age. And she used her mind. And when we would begin singing, she didn't need the book. She would go verse 1 and 2 and 3 and on. And in other languages too. And I will never forget how she recited this verse. A frail sister in a nursing home, in that condition, I remember the intensity and the heartfelt emotion that she said. And the way that she said it was this: it is a great thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's not just a good thing. The world thinks it has its great things. But to be prepared to serve in the kingdom of God, it is a great thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And we should have that testimony with intensity and with a heartfelt emotion as well. And also, just one last verse, as we consider our hearts of thankfulness. There's a question that the psalmist raises that should be upon the heart that is convinced of Ephesians 5:20. It is Psalm 116, verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Yes, the Lord has blessed us, and we have received much. But the heart that is content and that is truly grateful is also eager to share those blessings with others, and also ready and willing to offer the praise and thanks and obedience to our Heavenly Father, who has made us for his pleasure. May God bless his word. Amen.
The people of Israel did remember his commandments. They remembered how he brought them out of Egypt from bondage, how he was with them. He fed them with manna, gave them water from the rock. They remembered all the blessings, all the goodness, but they only remembered when they were in trouble. When they were oppressed by the enemy, when they came to the dead end, when they needed help, then they remembered God and his great mercy and his blessings and all that he has done unto them. And God wanted them to remember him always, as we need to remember God and our Savior Jesus Christ every day, not only when we are in trouble, when we really need him, when we are desperate, every day. That's why God is reminding them, even in this chapter, to keep his commandments, to obey him. And he's telling them they will be blessed. In chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, he's giving them all the blessings if they're obedient. And then he tells them, if you're not obedient, here that he lists all the curses that they will receive. God is so merciful and so great. And he even reminds them, he tells them in chapter 7, he says, why does he love them so much? He says, chapter 7, beginning of verse 6, he says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Said, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than other people. Not because of that. For ye were fewest of all the people. But he said, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God made a covenant with Abraham that the people will be blessed. His generation, his children will all be blessed. So God keeps his word. That's why he loves them, not because they were so great. They were rebellious, stiff-necked, disobedient, constantly, continuously. And he is reminding them throughout the whole Old Testament, sending prophets. And yet, they turned to other gods. But when they were in trouble, they knew where to go. Then right away they remembered his goodness. They called upon his name. They begged him. They were praying unto him. Let us learn from even this chapter that we would always be obedient every day, every moment of our life, in good days, in bad days. Let's never forget his goodness, how he sent his only son to die for our sins, our great sins. He has redeemed us. He shed his blood so that we can live, so we can have that hope, everlasting joy. This is who God is. May we always serve him and praise him and honor him, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen.